First reading is first chapter of James. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us the birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all the created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Those who listen to the word, but do not do what it says, are like people who look at their faces in a mirror, and after looking at themselves, go away and immediately forget what they look like. But those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues into it, not forgetting that they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel reading, stand for the gospel please, is from Mark chapter 7. This is the gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled. That is unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. Holding to the tradition of their elders, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and a defiled person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're present with us by your Spirit, that you are alive and dwelling amongst us. Lord, we pray that we may know your presence now, that we may hear your word afresh, and that we may respond more fully with the whole of our lives. For in your name we pray. Amen. So today, as we begin this experiment in all worshipping together in one service, I believe this is an important step in our journey as a church family. But right from the start, let's not kid ourselves. Let's not be under any illusion that simply tinkering with the time and the format of our services will result in any significant change in terms of church going and the life and the witness and the mission of this church. But if we, as part of this trial process of worshipping together, also grow in our love and our commitment, both to God and to one another, then it may be that we see that this trial period helps us to renew our spiritual life together. Just tinkering with the edges, tinkering with service times or formats is probably a bit like rearranging deck chairs on the deck of a sinking ship. Which reminds me of St. Augustine, the patron saint of this church, who in 597 came across from the continent to England to bring the gospel, and became the first Archbishop of Canterbury, and was responsible for establishing the Christian faith in the southern part of England. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church of St. Augustine, through this process of trial together, entered into a renewal of faith and life in such a way that again, afresh, we might see the gospel of Christ being introduced and proclaimed to those that don't yet know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. Wouldn't it be great if in the spirit of St. Augustine, coming across the channel and bringing the gospel to England, that actually through our worshipping together, committing to God and to each other, we found that actually the gospel is once again proclaimed. So this time we have an opportunity before us, which I think is much more about when and how we hold a Sunday service. But actually, if we take it, is an opportunity for us to renew and to deepen our commitment to following Jesus and to building significant and good and meaningful relationships with one another as sisters and brothers, as a family together. And would you believe it, we decided to follow the lectionary rather than doing Alpha this autumn, so I turned to the lectionary readings and I found that I think they have quite a lot to say to us at the beginning of this trial together. It seems to me that taken together they are a call for us to take seriously God's commandments to love him and to one another, to take seriously the task of living as disciples of Jesus and living as a Christian community. They are a call for us to take seriously God's mission to love and save the world. They are a reminder that Christianity, Christ, that the church, it isn't just a hobby, it isn't just a club, it isn't just there for the benefit of those of us that are here, but actually it is part of God's mission, it's the agent of God's mission to love and to save the world. If we call ourselves Christians, then following Jesus can be nothing else than our top priority. And our church life must be effective at equipping and enabling us to live faithful and fruitful lives as salt and light in this corrupt and dark world. And so I come to the 3 points of this sermon, because sermons have to have 3 points, don't they? Be prepared for a pokey sermon. I'm taking one phrase from the two readings that we had, but then also from Deuteronomy, which is one of the set readings which we didn't actually have read. And there are some sermon notes floating around, so let's take away with you or to follow if you'd like to. So, the first point, I've always wanted to say this, you hypocrites! That's the first point, you hypocrites! Secondly, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. And then thirdly, teach your children and their children. 3 phrases from the 3 scriptures set in the lectionary for this morning. So first of all, you hypocrites. Quotes Isaiah to the Pharisees. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. I'm guessing that none of us want to be accused of being a hypocrite. It's not a comfortable thing to be accused of, is it? But Jesus doesn't mince his words with the Pharisees. And of course, being as a Christian accused of being a hypocrite is an easy accusation to throw at Christians, isn't it, for atheists or others? Because they see Christ and they see the life that Christ lived, and then they see us and the life that we live, and there can just be an insignificant gap between the two. No? Yes? So it's an easy accusation to throw at us. We are called to a very high calling, which is to take Jesus as our example and to live loving, self-sacrificial, serving lives. But we don't always quite hit the mark. In fact, if we're honest, it's a real struggle, isn't it? It's hard to do that. So there's a gap. But of course, the accusation that makes us hypocrites is based on a misunderstanding of what it's about. Because actually, you and I probably are all here because we know how desperately we need God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness and God's strength and God's help in order to live lives that give glory to Him. And we know that we fall far away from the mark. So that's not to be a hypocrite, that's to be real and to come to God with our deep need for His salvation and redemption in our lives. So, of course, professing faith on a Sunday is the easy part. The hard part for us is loving like Jesus in our daily lives. And, of course, in our gospel reading, Jesus accuses the Pharisees of being hypocrites. Not for failing, interestingly, not for failing to observe their traditions, but for overdoing them. Sticking to their traditions had become more important to them and probably easier for them than living their lives fully for God and loving their neighbours as themselves. So perhaps today this serves as a warning and a reminder to us that if we're ever in danger of valuing our religious traditions over and above what God regards as important, what's on the Father's heart. Sorry, I've lost my feather here. If we're ever in danger, yes, of valuing religious traditions over and above what's on God's heart, then this is perhaps a reminder as we embark on this trial that actually we need to approach our worship together, not with our own preferences uppermost in our minds, but with a desire to get to know one another, with a desire to seek God's face together, and with a desire to serve one another as part of our worship. We're on very dodgy ground if we come to regard the particular way that we are used to worshipping, our particular tradition or preference, as being the only right or proper way. We're on very dodgy ground with the Pharisees in putting that before God's heart for people. It's a reminder also, of course, that actually God isn't so much concerned with the format of our worship, but with us honouring Him with our lips. Not just honouring Him with our lips, but also... I'm getting really muddled up here, aren't I? I'll start again. It's a reminder to us that how we live our lives is what God's concerned about. How we enter into and conduct our relationships. What we do with our lives. That's what's important to God and His heart. And that's the fullest expression of our worship in terms of our relationship with God and one another. So, that's the first bit. You hypocrites. Second point, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says, from James. Don't merely listen to the word, but do what it says. The call of God to us, who claim to be followers of Jesus, is for the whole of our lives to be surrendered to Him as Lord. In other words, the whole of our lives orientated towards seeking and knowing God and serving His kingdom purposes. It's about the relationships that we invest in. It's about the way we spend our time, our energy, our money. It's how we use our God-given talents. And if we're at least attempting to live with Jesus and His kingdom as our number one priority, given that we'll often fail, then by being in church today, we are actually in danger of being people who listen to the word and don't put it into practice. We are in danger of some of that accusation of being hypocrites sticking. You'll be familiar with the Chinese proverb, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. The truth is that if we just listen to a sermon, by the time we've eaten our Sunday lunch, the chances are we'll have already forgotten much of what was said. Or perhaps you've got better memories than I have. Simply listening to someone speaking usually isn't enough to help us to really understand or to learn or to grow and to be able to put what we've heard into action. We also need other types of learning too to reinforce what we've heard. We know this is true in other areas of our lives, and yet for some reason we've expected that we can just listen to sermons on a Sunday and that that will do the full job. And so that's why, of course, we're experimenting with providing some engagement time, some response times. It's actually, we have the opportunity to hear God's word proclaimed and preached, but then while it's fresh in our minds, the opportunity to do something that will help us to let it sink in and become part of us and deepen our understanding. And each of us will, perhaps week by week even, but by personality type, will be drawn ways of doing that. And it may be quiet reflection, it may be conversation with other people, it may be some kind of creative expression. But the important thing is that we seek to engage with what God is saying, that we seek to hear it and receive it and understand it, and we seek to see it integrated and applied into our lives. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word too. And then finally, teach your children and their children. We didn't read Deuteronomy 4 in the service, but the reference is on those notes if you want to look it up. And here Moses reminds and speaks of the importance of passing on God's commandments and laws. Passing on the faith, teaching the faith to future and upcoming generations. How are we doing with that? How are we doing as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles? How are we doing as a church family? How are we doing at teaching and nurturing the faith? Helping our children as a church family, not just our own children, to live their lives built on Jesus the Rock. To what extent are we prepared to invest in this as a church? To invest in relationships with children and young people and people who are new to faith or haven't yet to faith? To what extent are we prepared to invest in relationships? To invest time and resources? To what extent are we willing to accommodate those needs within our church community and our family life? Teach your children and their children. And so I leave you with those three pokey statements. You hypocrites, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says, and teach your children and their children. We can take these scriptures as a reminder and as a call to us that that we must always seek to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. That we need to take it seriously. And if we need to take that seriously, we need to take our church life together seriously. We need to take our relationships seriously. We need to take the business of helping one another to follow Jesus and to serve him seriously. The question is, are we up for the challenge? And now the chance for us to think about that in our different zones. So just a reminder, you can go to the quiet zone and reflect, take sermon notes with you, and there's other resources there. You can go to the creative zone and be creative. You can go to the back to have conversation with others around these themes. But the aim of all of that is for us to connect with God and to allow his word to penetrate into our hearts so that it becomes part of us and so that we respond to his word spoken to us.